Hey, this is BBC Radio London, 12:38. What have we been talking about today? We've been having some fun on the aeroplane. All the quirky things, weird things that happen to you on the aeroplane. I love children. I have two of them, but I do not want to be sat next to any children. Yes, I have seen people crap when the aeroplane lands. And yes, I have had terrible food on there. In fact, the stewards ran to the toilets when I was on the plane, last plane. In fact, the stewards ran to the toilets when I was on the plane, last plane. Somebody was trying to smoke in it, or so they thought, but he was apparently applying underarm, spraying it, and it came up. So we've had fun with that. Also, we've been talking about housing, biggest subject in London. Really interesting to hear your thoughts on prefabs and ground rent. Please keep those coming in, 0800 731 2000. Now, you may have heard of Emmeline Pankhurst and sisters Christabel and Sylvia. But what about Catherine Pine? No, me too. I'd not heard. She was a nurse from London who treated the suffragettes when they were on hunger strike and helped them escape arrest when they were in prison in Holloway, I think it was. Holloway Prison, which is no longer there. Talking about housing, they're going to do massive developments there, don't they? Anyway, Catherine was awarded a silver suffragette medal, and that medal is to go on display for the very first time at the Florence Nightingale Museum at St. Thomas Hospital. Join me now at director of said museum, Laura Sharp, and curator Hannah Amos. Good day to you both.
Hello.
Who wants to go first?
I'm happy to go first.
Go on then. What is it that you hope to get from it? Much as I love the idea of it, much as I think I know, what is your plan to go? There are lots of heroines, if you don't mind me using that word, that perhaps we haven't heard of.
Yeah, so we're obviously the Florence Nightingale Museums. We spend so much time talking about Florence Nightingale, and we're trying to actively promote other wonderful nursing stories. So when we stumbled across Catherine Pine and this medal that had been missing, it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to sort of tell this missing suffragette narrative, this wonderful caring nurse that was both a nurse and a fighter for suffrage, and how this story got lost in history. It seems fair to give her moment in the spotlight.
Yeah, I think I told you before we came on that, you know, much of my time, maybe 10, 15 years ago, was about almost pitting these people against each other. You know, how comes we never talk about Mary Seacole? We had Edith Cavell, where I'm a Hackney boy, so we had Edith Cavell. We're trying to highlight all of them, right?
Absolutely. There's no limit to how many wonderful women that we can celebrate. And it seems such a shame historically that, as you so rightly say, we often pit women against each other, try and compare who's better. And there's no need for that. So we're out here to try and celebrate all of these well-deserved stories and their individual achievements and how they've shaped nursing.
I want to come back to you because I don't know much about the Florence Nightingale Museum. So you tell me a bit about it. I'm going to come to Hannah. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you for coming in. Listen, I know it's a bit daunting, isn't it? Have you come in to the BBC before?
No, the first
right,
time.
So you just think, this is what I say to guests who come across a little bit nervous. You paid for it. Yeah? So you're entitled to everything in this building because you paid for it, right? So what have you created before?
So the museum's been in place for nearly 40 years now. So I've come in sort of quite late in the stage of the actual museum. It's already got its permanent displays, but I'm always looking to do more research, tell new stories, whether that is about Florence Nightingale, Mary Seacole, Edith Cavell, or the many other people that we've got. So a lot of my research that I do in the museum is for our temporary exhibitions, looking at those little stories that are not in the permanent exhibitions, and just how we can tell those stories, get them to a much wider reach, whether that is in the museum, whether it's on our website, whether it's through, you know, loaning some of our objects to other museums. You know, there's so many different ways.
But it's going to be both a fantastic job and, one imagines at certain times, quite a frustrating job.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think definitely with the temporary exhibitions, I get so into one story and then I have to just let that go. And then I'm straight on to the next one.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
that's right.
Typically, so you know, we've got this person, mm-hmm. we've found she was this, she did that, she helped them when they were in need. Mm-hmm. She was in the background, but without her, it would have been a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. How long, because that adds on to a different story, doesn't it? Because mm-hmm. that's a part of the Emmeline Pankhurst story mm-hmm. and her sisters. So how long would that bit of it stay in the museum for?
So the temporary exhibitions for that space are generally about 6 to 8 months. So it's not long at all, really, in the terms of the whole museum. But we've created these exhibitions with a view that they will have a life after the time in the museum, that they will hopefully go to another location or tour somewhere else, whether it's that's in a local library somewhere or another museum or even an organisation. You know, we've worked with other organisations with previous exhibitions that have expressed an interest in showing them.
You would, because it's a person that you think you know and you think you'd like to know. Who helped build this place? Who developed this place? Mm. And let me just ask you, because it is interesting. We just did a bit about America, and many of the things that were happening then that we are lauding now would have been totally against societal norms. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been legal. They would have come under a lot of pressure. How did the politics of it work?
So we'll always just tell the stories how they are. Obviously, we don't try to explain away if there are some sort of difficult histories and things. We just like to explain the full history around something and explain what thoughts were at the time. Say, for example, with Florence Nightingale, she lived under the British Empire, so we just have a full explanation of the British Empire and how, you know, that would have affected views at the time. We don't try to shy away from these
two. Yeah, and I'm not trying to push you, but I just want to understand. It would have affected views on people from Britain, or it would have affected views on women? It would have affected views on what?
It would have been views on women, I think, that especially with Catherine Pyne, it would have been, you know, it would have been the view of women at the time. They were pushing away from the norm.
I'm going to come back to you because I want to know a little bit about this lady in order that our listener can go and find her. More. Tell me about the museum itself.
We are a small, completely independent museum, so we receive no continuous funding, and we are based in the grounds of St Thomas's Hospital, so just off Westminster Bridge in London. And
which is one of the best hospitals in London.
We're biased, but yeah. It's a very significant hospital because Florence Nightingale actually helped design it originally when it moved to that location, and she chose it as the location to open her training school, which was the first training school of its kind. So it's very significant, our little basement in the hospital.
So what does it say on the tin? Does it say, here we are to celebrate brilliant women who perhaps many people will not have heard of in London? Does it say, we are celebrating nursing? What does it say on the tin?
So we are technically a personality museum. So we follow the main narrative of Nightingale's story, right from her sort of childhood, including the time of the Crimean War. We display her lamp, her pet owl, a rather unusual one, and sort of her writing work. And then we use our temporary spaces to expand on those stories by bringing in others as much as possible. We always joke, if we could push the walls back, we would have the biggest nursing museum.
So we see it's a nursing museum. So, and at that time, that would have been 99.9% women. Were men nurses then?
The first male Nightingale nurse wasn't until the 1970s. A few other training schools introduced sort of male nurses before that. And we're slowly seeing a shift in the profession where the gender balance is starting to even out somewhat. But historically, as you say, it would have been...
It's still a challenge. It's still a calling, though, isn't it? And
when you
again, this is a personal view, not the view of the BBC, just in case. It feels like when you're doing something which is a calling, let's say teaching and nursing, it's easier to exploit, keep your wages down. Is that wrong? That's too politically out there for you?
I wouldn't feel right saying not being a nurse myself. But having spoken to a lot, I think that is quite reflective that, yeah, absolutely, they are phenomenal and deserve the right pay and everything else associated. And I mean, Nightingale fought for that herself. Even though she was never paid a penny in her life, she ensured that all her nurses were paid and treated well and fairly and trained.
That is fantastic. How did she survive that?
Oh, she was from a very affluent background. Oh. She was given a very nice allowance from her parents, yeah, okay. So she did fine.
Right. So Catherine Pine. Come on, give us a couple of the headlines. Well, what drove this lady?
So she, again, not quite as affluent as Nightingale, but she grew up in quite good circumstances in Kent. And after her parents passed away, she had to do something with her life, really. She'd had a good education, but had never had to work up until that point. I think it's her late 20s when both of her parents have passed away. So she comes up to London and enters the St. Bart's training school. She trained as a nurse there, stayed there for another 5 to 7 years, I think it is. And then after that, she set up her own nursing home in London. And that's where she met the Pankhursts. Emmeline Pankhurst's son was in quite bad ill health, and he actually went to the nursing home. Unfortunately, he later passed away at the age of 20, but Catherine Pine and Emmeline Pankhurst kind of kept in touch, basically. So when the suffragettes were in prison and they were going on hunger strike, and then when the Cat and Mouse Act came in, yeah, that released them from prison when they were too ill to sort of stay and continue with the hunger strikes, a lot of them went into this nursing home that Catherine Pine was running, where they'd be nursed back to health before their rearrest and back into prison, and that really vicious cycle that they seem to get stuck in.
Yeah, it's so strange. I don't know if you can hear it, but I know that at Wormwood Scrubs there were demonstrations this past weekend over people who believe that they are right, who are on hunger strike, and that the perception of what people are doing is often looked back through the eyes of history and looks very, very different. I mean, this story that you're telling now is very, very different to the way all of that disruption would have been seen. It's a bit like, you know, people who close motorways and all of that. Mm. Hugely inconvenient now. Why are they doing it? They shouldn't do it. And in 40, 50, 60 years' time, oh, my goodness, they were right. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us the details. Coming to the museum, what time, when, how long?
Yes, we are opening it to coincide with International Women's Day, so the weekend of the 7th and 8th of March. And the key object is Pine's medal that was given to her by the suffragettes. It's a fascinating medal because it went missing through history and has only recently sort of been rediscovered. So this will be the first time that we know that it's been on display. So it's a real way to sort of celebrate.
So I want to come. What do I do?
Turn up. The museum is open Tuesday to Sunday, 10 till 5, last entry 4:30. Tickets are available online or on the door.
And online, the website is?
Florence-Nightingale.co.uk.
It's great. It's
nice and simple.
It's great. You know, a London radio station, finding out about London figures who've done great things that you didn't know about. Exactly what we want. When you're doing another temporary one, are you going to come in and see me? Or is this it? You don't get my sense of humour. You know, what are we doing with this, Hannah? I don't know. Your body position has not changed. I do not know if you wore it up to it, if it wasn't as bad as you thought. To give me something.
I'll definitely be back. That's good. In October when the next one opens.
Yeah, lovely. Maybe we'll see if we can make it part of what we do for International Women's Day. I don't know what the plans are as of yet. We'll see. You can both go and have some breakfast now. I appreciate you both coming in. This is BBC Radio London.